ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News Breakdown.
And welcome to Nightlife News Breakdown. The rest of the country might be winding down as the year comes to a close, but not so the opposition leader, Susan Lee, who's working hard. Not only is she taking any and all speaking opportunities, she's also promising major party announcements before the end of the year. Here she is on Channel 9 this morning.
With respect to migration, we're going to announce principles by the end of the year, not far away, and there are too many migrants coming into this country. This government brought in 1 million migrants in their first 2 years with no plan to house them. But more importantly, we're just seeing pressure on infrastructure, on the commute to work, on houses, on hospitals, on schools, on our cities. And we need to address that and bring that back into balance in a way that reassures Australians, as this government has not done, that there actually is a plan.
Well, given how long it took the opposition to get their energy policy sorted, you'd have to wish them luck in getting this a policy together in the next 27 days, but there you are. Ms. Lee also took the opportunity to talk about what's possibly been one of the brighter areas of the Liberals in the last month.
I'm very excited to see Kelly Sloan and Jess Wilson, leaders of the Liberals in New South Wales and Victoria. And I know that they, like me, are focused on policies and initiatives that work for mums, for families, with people who are doing that crazy commute, and particularly with those who are sitting around the kitchen table right now worried about how they're going to pay the bills.
Well, Paul Bongiorno, veteran political journalist and columnist with the Saturday Paper, joins us for the News Breakdown. Paul, good evening. Welcome back.
Good evening, Phil, and lovely to be here.
Yes, is Susan Lee the hardest working politician in politics business at the moment?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but she's certainly working hard. And as you said in your intro, ever since she announced the ditching of the net zero target, she's been up and about. She's been giving interviews to podcasters, to all sorts of niche broadcasters and social media, as well as mainstream media. And she's got a very busy travel schedule. She's doing something every day. So she's out there, she's spruiking, and she's trying to raise her profile, and she's holding up her plan for cheaper and affordable energy. That's the plan she's running around the country with, and at the same time putting affordability over and against whether we do anything about climate change. It's another issue. So, to shortly answer your question, yes, she's working very hard, harder than others. Don't know.
Where do they want to land on immigration? Because I have to be careful here, because there are seat after seat which are composed of migrants in the cities, and what actually do they want to say here? Because if you say you want to cut back on immigration, you've got to just say, well, who are we going to cut back on? Family reunions,
precisely,
skilled migrants, students, backpackers who provide a lot of labour in regional and farming communities. I mean, that's the nub of this, isn't it?
Well, it is indeed. And every time Susan Lee puts something out there, like maybe we've got too many students or something like that, she then backtracks on it. The leader of the Nationals on television on the weekend, he didn't want to stop migrants going, as you were saying just then, and, you know, working on farms. Then there's the whole skills issue. And we already have the moderates very worried about where this is going. The moderate senator from South Australia says that mass migration is an inaccurate and extremely unhelpful term. He's quite worried this is Andrew McLaughlin, Senator Andrew McLaughlin. He's quite worried that that in fact the debate could be inflammatory and irresponsible, and from his point of view, extremely unhelpful, trying to win seats with large migrant numbers. And by the way, when we talk mass migration these days, the biggest components by far are Indians and Chinese. Now, that's right. if you want to put them offside, good luck, because guess what? They all vote. But there there is a real divide between the conservative wing of the Liberal Party and the moderates. We had Senator Nampajimpa Price earlier in this week going back to mass immigration. She lost her front bench by raising doubts and questions about Indian migration. Mm. And yet she's using this buzzword of the right, talking about mass migration, which, by the way, does not stand up to scrutiny. Migration numbers are coming down and are projected to get quite close to pre-pandemic levels within a couple of years.
There was an increase following the pandemic, but since then...
Absolutely. Since then,
numbers are coming down,
and yes, that's exactly right.
It's also true that I think total permanent migration numbers have remained pretty static at 180,000. That's not to say that there are more people coming than that figure, but still, the other figures are also on the decrease. So, when they use the term mass migration, what are they referring to, or do you think it's just a phrase?
Oh, no. It's a buzzword feeding into perceptions that that we've got all these new arrivals, as Andrew Hastie said, who are making Australians feel like strangers in our own home. Not only that, they're clogging up the roadways. They're outbidding us for houses, and they're making life uncomfortable as we know it. Well, you're not going to win anyone else except the extreme end of the electorate with arguments like that. And I would have thought that with the release of the Australian Electoral Survey mid last week, which just shows the Liberals have lost huge swathes of the electorate and demographics because they are pursuing policies like this. Now, there was a bit of a blow up in the party room over a discussion on a One Nation motion in the Senate that went down, but the moderates took on the conservatives and had a bit of a win there. You've got Andrew Bragg now. Bragg is the housing shadow minister, and he's quite flatly come out and said the increased demand from Labor's reckless migration program has been damaging, but, quote, it is not the major driver. The major driver of the housing crisis is a collapse in housing supply. So, yes, it's quite a muddy debate within the Liberal Party. They haven't got the freedom of, say, Pauline Hanson and One Nation to just go for broke because she does well if she gets what? Well, she does extremely well if she gets 15 or 18% of the vote, which she's gone nowhere near in actual elections. Mm. But of course, if you want to be a party of government, you've at least got to try and get into the 30s and get people to preference you. And what we know in the last two federal elections, the overwhelming flow of preferences, somewhere in the vicinity of 60%, went not to the coalition but to Labor.
Mm. Yes, and with new... Well, there have been talk of other right-wing parties forming and so on. That it's imperative. You'd think that Susan Lee's major task really is to define the Liberals sharply as to what they are, and that with the prevalence of other right-wing parties popping up, and also the increase in polling support. As you're right to point out, it hasn't reflected in voter support, but polling support for One Nation. She's got an issue here as to try to set out what the Liberals stand for, doesn't she?
Well, she does, but I mean, there is no doubt because of our preferential and compulsory voting system that success is in the centre. You know, it's not the extreme left or extreme right. And there was a very interesting piece by Paul Kelly in The Australian yesterday analysing the findings of the Australian Electoral Survey, which is that survey carried out after every election by the Australian National University and Griffith University. And Kelly sums it up pretty well. He says, the evidence is our political culture is changing in fundamental ways. Voters are de-aligning themselves from the main parties, yet the country overall is moving to the left. It's more progressive, which means Labor wins office through the preference system. And Kelly says unless the centre-right understands this, it cannot recover. And I think that's very wise. And the analysis of the demographic breakdown in the last two federal elections shows that the only demographic that the Liberals or the coalition are winning baby boomers. people born between 1946 and 1964. And they're not only dying out, they're diminishing and being overtaken by millennials and other demographics, all of whom in the last two federal elections have been voting more for Labor than they have for the coalition. And if not voting directly for Labor, have been directing their preferences that way.
Yeah. Yep. Look, on to another matter, and this issue of the Islamic State fighter relatives returning their family members, often referred to in some quarters as the ISIS brides issue. Essentially what this is about is the women and girlfriends who went to the Middle East to be with members of Islamic State, of course, have been marooned there in refugee camps ever since the collapse of ISIS. And there's been a lot of discussion about whether or not they ought to be brought back to Australia. They are Australian citizens, and there are children born and so on. Now, they are Australian citizens, so they have a right to return back here. But there's been a lot of – there's been an issue that's been bubbling for a while about whether the government has been helping them get back here. Now, Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke's being asked to explain the government's involvement with family members of Islamic State fighters returning to Australia. Now, and that, we know it's not a new discussion. However, what is new is that meeting minutes raised in Senate estimates this week revealed that the Home Affairs Minister had held talks with Save the Children, that's a charity, and that note takers for the meeting were asked to leave the room at one point so the minister could speak frankly. Now, the government won't divulge whether it expects that further family members of Islamic State fighters will return to Australia. And when asked about it today on Sky, Richard Marles, the acting Prime Minister, had this to say.
There wasn't a government repatriation here. There was a request, but we did not engage in a repatriation. Beyond doing what was legally required, the government did not assist any of the repatriations that occurred here, and that's the consistent point that Tony Burke has been making.
Yes, the Shadow Finance Minister James Patterson was also on Sky this morning, and he was pushing home the point too.
What is it that Tony Burke wanted to say to Save the Children that he didn't want a public servant present in the room for? It's already bad enough what we know that happened while the public servant was in the room, but we can only imagine what happened after the public servant left the room. And that's the question that Tony Burke must front up and answer today. What happened in this secret part of the meeting?
Yeah, it's a difficult issue, this, isn't it, Paul? Because, you know, a lot of people would think, you know, why are these people being allowed to return? Well, the answer is because they're Australian citizens. That's generally the reason. Well, what's the opposition trying to suggest here?
Well, that's a very good question, and I can only take a stab at it, really. And my first inclination is that again, looking at the Australian Electoral Survey, the one area where the coalition was doing okay, that was, it wasn't behind Labor or ahead of it, but line ball with it, was on national security, and there is a belief in the political class that if you go to an area where you've got some strengths and you can get people talking about that area, it's good for you. And so that's why I think they're keeping returning to these Islamic State mothers and their children as a security threat for Australia. But there's a couple of points to be made, and I think you and I have had this discussion before. But to his great credit, Scott Morrison repatriated some of these people when he was Prime Minister.
He did, yeah.
And in the early days of the Albanese government, it did as well. The other point to make is that the Australian Federal Police are on the record as saying that we've got this, you know, we're onto it, and if there's any security threat, you know, we will deal with it. Now, the point about this secret meeting and why did the minister ask the note takers to leave the room? Well, what we do know is that subsequent to that meeting, Save the Children wrote to the minister and copied the Penny Wong, the foreign minister, and said further to our recent meetings and correspondence regarding the urgent need to repatriate Australian children and their carers from camps, from our engagement with you and your office, we understand that the Australian government has decided not to actively support the repatriation of these Australians. So in other words, there's confirmation from Save the Children that whatever Burke said in this secret meeting, it was not that we will repatriate these people. They have to repatriate themselves with your help. Now, it could well be that Tony Burke, and this is me speculating, it's hypothetical, is actually a human being and has a humanitarian view that if Save the Children can work with, by the way, the United States of America, who is urging Australia and other nations to repatriate their nationals, and that came out in the estimates, then good on him. What we are dealing with here, people who may be very misguided, people who may have been radicalized. The United States is taking the view that if we leave them there, they'll even become more radicalized and coerced and dangerous. But whatever was said, when the note takers left, we have on the record that the Australian government did not repatriate these two women and their four children. By the way, there are still 32 Australian women and children in Syria in terrible conditions. One would think, we like to think of ourselves as a compassionate nation, one would think that what's happening here and the work of Save the Children is actually commendable and should be supported.
Yes, as you and I have discussed before, it's one of those damnable issues that governments often have to deal with, where they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. But at the end of the day, they are Australian citizens, whatever view you might form of them, and that would be probably a dim view on behalf of most people, I guess, given what their record has been. But still, there are children involved and they are Australian citizens, And there we are. What are people suggesting should happen here? Interesting.
One would hope that the terrible experience that they've been through, and their urgency in wanting to return to Australia would suggest that they've learnt a very hard lesson.
Yeah, Paul, great to talk. Appreciate it. Thank you, and thanks very much.
Thanks, Phil. Bye.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.